The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are back, and it's time for Greeny and Sis We Talk About Golf, which is brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage Classic, changing the course in Detroit. And if you followed any of the PGA Tour's restart, you may have noticed Bryson DeChambeau looks like a completely different person. How did he get so jacked? He revealed his new diet this week.
In the mornings, I usually have four eggs, five pieces of bacon, some toast, and two organ protein shakes. And then throughout the course of the day, I'll have, you know, a Go Macro bar here and there. I'll have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll have another protein drink. I'll have at least two protein drinks on the golf course. So every, you know, six holes. So you go, you know, 6-12, and then after the round, I'll have one. After that, I'm snacking when I'm practicing. After, go back to the hotel, eat a dinner, steak, potatoes. Then, and I'll have two protein shakes with it there as well.
What would be your caloric intake?
Shoot, I have no idea. Probably, if you were to add all that up, it'd be around 3,000 to 3,500, I think. Something like that.
That's quite the remarkable diet there. And anyone with a quick thought? Oh, by the way, not to be outdone in the area of physical fitness, did you guys all see Mike Tannenbaum yesterday here on Get Up? Show everybody what Mike... DeChambeau's not the only one training. How about that, guys? How about Mr. T throwing down the world's largest smoothie?
That's
hey,
a
listen,
damn...
It's about game right now, Greeny.
He's drinking a vat
what the
of
hell
smoothie.
What is Mike doing?
That's literally a vat. I don't know what to say. And DeChambeau, I mean, that man is... He's gotten swole. Anyway, one way or another, we have another hour starting right now of Get Up coming your way, jam-packed with these gentlemen on the screen and many more to go. And we start the hour with Get Up and Go. Let's roll through some of the headlines of the day. Starts with soccer. Lionel Messi scored his 700th career goal for club and country on Tuesday in a draw against Atletico Madrid. His penalty was his 630th club goal to go with the 70 he has scored for Argentina. To the NBA, Pelicans executive VP David Griffin told reporters yesterday three Pelicans players have tested positive for the coronavirus. He also said the status of 65-year-old head coach Alvin Gentry had yet to be determined for the bubble. Elsewhere, the Nuggets were forced to temporarily close their practice facility after a round of positive tests among the team's 35-person traveling party for Orlando. And at the same time, Commissioner Adam Silver was talking yesterday about what it would take to bring the whole thing to a halt.
Never full steam ahead, no matter what. I think one thing we're learning about this virus is much is unpredictable. And I think we and our players together with their union, the Players Association, look at the data on a daily basis. And if there was something to change that was outside of the scope of what we're playing for, certainly we would revisit, our plans. I'd also say, I mean, we're testing daily. I mean, we haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and we were to see spread in our community, that would, of course, would be a cause for us to stop as well.
Well, as of right now, we're officially 30 days away from the restart of the season. Here are some key dates that you see, beginning with today when the rosters have to be finalized. Next week, teams travel to Orlando, go in the bubble, 3 weeks of training camp, and then the games start on July 30th. To the NFL, Cam Newton already getting to know his new teammates, working out with Patriots receiver Mohamed Sanu yesterday. Meanwhile, Cam's former coach, Ron Rivera, now in Washington, said he thinks Cam is ready to bust out again in New England.
Don't bet against him. I really wouldn't. I mean, first of all, you got to know who he is and understand what he's gone through. And he's a guy that has always tried to do things, I think, because he's felt the pressure. He's felt the pressure of being the number one pick. He's felt the pressure of having won the Heisman Trophy. He's felt the pressure of being a black quarterback and with all this stuff that's been heaped on him. And he's really had to find his way through it. He went to New England, which I think is going to be a great spot for him, and I think he's going to have a lot of success.
So a lot there, as we said. We opened the show with those comments and said there was a lot to unpack, and we've gotten to a lot of it. Let's get to another piece of it here. Ryan Clark, when you hear Ron Rivera yesterday saying that one of the things that Cam Newton has dealt with during his career is the pressure of being a black quarterback, what are you hearing when you hear him say that?
I think Ron Rivera is absolutely right. And him himself being a minority, I know he could speak to that as well. But when you look at Cam, it's not only the pressure of carrying communities, it's also the pressure of changing the way that black quarterbacks are perceived. See, people expect quarterbacks to move a certain way, talk a certain way, behave a certain way, and play a certain way. And this isn't just made up. It's because most of the franchise faces, most of the big-time quarterbacks have been white quarterbacks. And so you get used to that feel. And so now Cam is a guy that dresses more like a primetime or a DB. He plays the game more like a wide receiver. He dances. He has fun. He is a black quarterback that embraced our culture. And this is nothing against quarterbacks who kind of fit that mold. But we don't hear these things from guys like Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes, because I think there's a little bit more familiarity with the way that they play, also the way that they sound, the way that they behave. Cam Newton is away from that. So I do believe that he's carried that. There's also the part of that that when it's not familiar, and sometimes when it's black, people wanting to see you fail. And that's why I believe that Cam Newton will have the most pressure on him of anybody this year. I think the Cam Newton signing takes pressure off of Bill Belichick, because there will be people watching and people looking in. There will be people covering just to see if it fails, just to see if it doesn't work, so they can say that Cam Newton didn't conform to the Patriot way. And throughout his career, even in his evaluation as a quarterback coming out of Auburn, even though he was the Heisman Trophy winner, clearly the best player in the draft, we had notes and we had rumors and rumblings that people didn't like the way his smile was. Those are the things that Cam Newton has had to deal with. So replacing Tom Brady and living in that shadow would be nothing compared to what Cam Newton has had to do, as not only being Cam Newton, a Heisman Trophy winner, the first overall pick of the draft, a rookie of the year, and an MVP, but what he's had to be as a black quarterback who was not only black by color, but black by culture. And being black by culture makes you different, it makes you unfamiliar, and it puts a target on your back for many of those who don't understand, who don't want to understand, and who refuse to root for you.
It's a really interesting thought, because I think it is inarguable that there has been, in some quarters, a reluctance to fully embrace Cam Newton, whether it was how good a player he was or the leadership that he showed in the community. We sat here and showed videos of him showing up at hospitals with kids and all that kind of stuff, and yet that always seemed to be at maximum part of the story with Cam, and frequently not even the biggest part of the story. Marcus, what do you think?
Gee, it goes back to what Ryan said. People want to be comfortable, and Cam made it uncomfortable for people that thought things should be a certain way. I loved his individuality. I didn't love all of his outfits, but I loved his individuality. I love the fact that Cam did Cam. And that's what you have to respect about people, man. Like, I've had this conversation a million times, and I was actually at Tim Tebow throws a golf tournament every year in Florida for his charity, and Cam was there. I had the opportunity to talk to him. You know, he's one of the most giving people I've ever met. One of those guys that if you don't really know him, you cast judgment and you have it totally wrong. When I was young, G, and I tell people this all the time, my favorite athlete, and everybody knows it, is LeBron James. But something in me doesn't want to meet LeBron James, because if I do and he's a different person, it's going to taint what I think about him. People already formed what they thought about Cam Newton prior to ever knowing him. So me having the opportunity to talk to him, I know what kind of guy he is. And then let's get to the football part, right? This is the football part. And this is why we're having this conversation. And as harsh as this may sound, what I'm about to say, it's just the reality. Black quarterbacks are known to be mobile and to be able to create off the cuff. That's what Cam Newton, that's what made Cam Newton great. That's what made everybody embrace Cam Newton as a quarterback. And the fact that he has these injuries, it diminishes that. And that is what makes teams fearful. Is it right? I don't know. But I know that every team that I've come in contact with, even the Dallas Cowboys, who I had to negotiate with, brought up two torn meniscus in my right knee and the possibility of me not being the same player. I think this contract has a lot to do with with Cam Newton's health. There is no doubt. If there is doubt, they're dummies, like Rick said prior. If there is doubt that Cam Newton can play and star in this league, if healthy, that's just dumb because he showed you he can year in and year out. The bottom line is this. Cam Newton is a really, really good quarterback when healthy. The second part is Cam is an individual. People need to embrace that and not try to make him conform to be in this comfortable bubble that RC just explained so well to make everybody comfortable with who their quarterback is. The dude balls out. He helps his community. He does more for kids than probably most guys in the league. And also, you know what else he does? He uplifts his teammates around him, which is one of the most important parts about football that I've ever known this game to be. Cam Newton straight. Y'all just come on to terms with the fact that he is going to be who he is.
Rex, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just think it's so disappointing to me that we're still having the same conversations that, you know, were said when Randall Cunningham was a quarterback for my father. Like, it's a joke. When you look at, our last two MVPs, Patrick Mahomes,
Lamar
you know,
Jackson.
Lamar Jackson was last year's MVP. And so when you look at him with Pat Mahomes, all those, so those two guys right there were MVPs of the league. I mean, who cares what the skin color is of a player, of a quarterback, or whatever? It makes no dang difference. Let's judge for the player on the field. And when you talk about, you know, people with movement skills, you know, the quarterback position, it's not just African-American quarterbacks. I mean, why is Roger Staubach the player he was? Why was Steve Young the player he was? That, to me, that's what you want in a quarterback, whether he's an African-American or he's white. It doesn't matter. I think it's amazing. I remember I had three African-American quarterbacks on my team in Buffalo. And I never thought one thing of it. And they did a story. USA Today came and did a story on the fact that I had three African-American quarterbacks. To me, can we not move past that? Like, this, it's frustrating as hell to me.
Riggs.
You know, as just a football coach. So,
go ahead, Marcus.
Riggs,
yep.
To what you're saying is what we live in the football community. That's why we've always said sports, and RC feels the same way, we've had conversations. In sports, you move past all of the bull crap you deal with in public for majority of the time.
Absolutely.
Now, do we need groundbreakers? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There were points and times in sports where we had to have guys integrate, the Jackie Robinsons of the world and all of those guys, Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul, they had to fight for that, Jim Brown. But in sports, in that culture, in that locker room, you find commonality. That's why for a lot of us, it's super frustrating to leave our facilities or our locker rooms and realize we got to deal with this bull crap in the real world. Because in sports, sometimes you can filter that. You can be an anomaly against what society is supposed to tell you. Rex, you just said it. You had three black quarterbacks and didn't think anything of it. You know why? Because in football, the respect comes from your talent and can you help us win, which it should be about. Going back to Cam Newton. Can you help us win? Yes, you should be the quarterback. You shouldn't have all these problems signing with a team. That's the bottom line. But for me and RC, when you see a Cam Newton not get offered jobs, teams not want to get in on him, you could say it's injury. You could say all of these other things. The bottom line for us is there is a part of us that says it's because he's a black quarterback. That's just the reality. But we should function
and I know
more
we gotta,
like we function when it's about football.
Really quick, RC, I'm running out of time. Go ahead. Quick final
yeah,
thought.
I'm about to go. The other big thing is this. Look at Jameis. Look at Cam Newton. Guys who have proven they can be great. MVPs, Pro Bowlers, number one overall picks. Have a tough time getting jobs. But the Mike Glennons, the Nick Foles, the Chase Daniels, the Blaine Gabbert, Ryan Tannehill going to Tennessee, Marcus Mariota right to Oakland. What is it that these guys are doing or not proving that the other people are? Do they need to prove that they can't be starters? Because all the rest of them have proven y'all can't start. We know you can't start, but we're going to keep giving you money and opportunities to be on teams, or you can prove what they proved, that at their heights, they're some of the top quarterbacks in this game and still have to fight for jobs. I think that is part of the equation, has to be part of the conversation when you're talking about Cam Newton, and we can also add Jameis Winston to that this offseason.
We can continue this conversation as we go. I have a bunch of other things I want to get to today, but this certainly, as we work our way towards the season, is not the last time we'll talk about it. As we go, Kawhi Leonard, if he wins a title with a third different team, what would that mean for him historically? I have a few thoughts. Plus, Brady and Breeze will get the attention in the NFC South. But another quarterback in that division says he is the one to watch. Is he right? Marcellus will tell us as we continue. Back on Get Up, and Kawhi Leonard will be looking for his third title with his third different team when the NBA restarts in Orlando July 30th after winning championships with San Antonio and Toronto. And Kawhi's Clippers are among the favorites in the bubble. They actually have the third best odds to win the title, but they're closely packed there with the Lakers and the Bucks. After the Clippers, as you can see, there is quite a gap before you get to anyone else. And shame on us for forgetting to wish a happy birthday to Kawhi Leonard on Monday. Guess how old he is? He's 29. Seems like he'd be older. And I think the reason why is while we talk a lot about what LeBron James has at stake in this Orlando bubble and all the history he can make, if you take a close look at this thing, if Kawhi carries the Clippers to a title, what he will have accomplished before the age of 30 will be historic, like as much as any player in decades. Start with this. Like LeBron, he could be the first player ever to win Finals MVP for three different teams. And his first two were epic. He stopped a three-peat with the Heat. Then he stopped another with the Warriors. Kawhi shuts down dynasties, and he does it in style. In 2014, he shot 61% from the floor in the Finals, highest ever by an MVP. Then last year, he scored 732 points in the playoffs. Only Michael Jordan ever scored more for a championship team, and even he only did that once. Meanwhile, Kawhi has played 9 years. He has more steals than he has committed fouls. He's been Defensive Player of the Year twice. And including playoffs, he actually has the highest winning percentage of any player in NBA history. And if he wins this, look what he'll have done in back-to-back years. The Raptors had never made the finals before. They won it all in his one season with a rookie head coach. Now the Clippers, the worst franchise in sports, and that's not even close. They could go 82-0 for the next 8 seasons and still have a losing record all time. Imagine winning it all with that team. So that's Kawhi. He isn't LeBron. He isn't chasing Michael and Magic and Kobe, or at least he isn't yet. But if he wins the whole thing this summer, the trajectory of his career will be something that we've pretty much never seen before. That's worth saying, and it's worth talking about, and let's get into it here. I got Jay Will and Marcus to jump in because no one loves basketball conversation more than he does. But Jay, I'll start with you. We've talked a lot about what's at stake for LeBron in this season. What's at stake for Kawhi?
Well, you know, Green, just let me address your beautiful monologue that you so eloquently articulated here. You know the two words I didn't hear in that monologue?
Yeah.
Load management, right, my friend. Load management. And I think that is something that will forever haunt Kawhi Leonard. And you talked about, will he ever be in that MJ, that LeBron, that Kobe conversation? And my answer to you would be no, unfortunately. He's never played 75 games or more in a regular season. Last year alone, he missed 22 games. A year before that, he only played 9 because he was injured. He's never won a regular season MVP. Okay? Like, these are things that are problematic for him. Obviously, in the postseason, he's been epic. But there's also caveats, Greeny, that sometimes when you gloss over, you just say, hey, he's won multiple championships and he's been a dynasty defeater. Like last year, when they won a championship for Toronto, also you talk about Kevin Durant did not play. Klay Thompson was out as well. And there are a lot of people that thought that with Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry that they still had the Golden State Warriors had a chance to win that. So, look, could he win his third championship on his third team and win his third, you know, MVP? Yes. But unfortunately for Kawhi, you know, your entire body of work is something that will follow him. And I think that that will not allow us to put him in that next level of GOAT conversation in the history of basketball.
Swaggoo, how much will you hold those things against him as you, in your conversations that you have all the time, try and sort of assess where Kawhi belongs on the list of great players?
The load management will obviously be the issue, like Jay Will said, but I also got to give Kawhi credit, man. You look over his career, starting in San Antonio, the ability to morph into different roles. He was known as a stopper in San Antonio, got to the finals, defended well, but also got the finals MVP. And sometimes Jay Will knows this, you're insulated by being around other great guys. But Kawhi, you could say, took his role to another level and became one of the guys that you had to respect and game plan for. And then we see him move on and obviously in Toronto get a championship and carry that team. And I'm the first to say, there's not an asterisk, but we also have to recognize that Golden State wasn't at full strength. With that being said, it's still an NBA championship. And now with the Clippers, obviously what he's doing, averaging 20, almost 27 over the past two seasons. Here's the thing when it comes for me and Kawhi, because I hear these conversations all the time. Is it, to me, it's LeBron, the best player in the NBA. That's me. And then you, everybody goes Giannis. And I get it. Giannis is dominant. But as an individual, I'm going to pose this to you, Jay Will. If I'm taking a player, are you taking Kawhi or Giannis? Because I'm taking Kawhi.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, how many games are they healthy? Like, and I ask you that because that's a factor that you have to factor into the equation, Marcus, right? Like, well, is Kawhi healthy? If Kawhi is healthy, I'm going to take Giannis considering he's 25 years old for the future of my franchise.
No, I'm talking about winning this year. Right now, you want to win a championship this year. You want a healthy Kawhi or a healthy Giannis on your team to win a championship right now.
Who are they surrounded by, Grinny? Who else is on my team?
You're drafting players right now. You're starting a team.
It's not that black and white. Like, I'm not going to let you guys take this conversation to us either this or that. There are so many other factors that go into that. I mean, if Kawhi also has Paul George on his team this year. So if Paul George, that's a different scenario if they're going against last year's Golden State Warriors. So I think there's still a lot of factors around that. It's just not, you know, Giannis surrounded by the right people. I might take Giannis in some circumstances, depending upon who's the personnel on my team.
Let me throw something fun in just for the heck of it, because I know he watches the show every morning. Good morning, Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, when ESPN did their rankings of the top 100 players of all time, just a month or so ago, Charles Barkley was 23. Kawhi Leonard was 25. If he wins a championship, Marcus, this year, does he surpass Barkley? Does he move ahead of Barkley on the all-time list of great players?
No, he won't move past Barkley. I mean, his accomplishments, obviously he has championships, but he won't move past Chuck. He has to do it longer. To Jay's point, the low management. But I go back to your question, G. Oh. And we could, Jay, we can caveat and we could talk about things. But as an individual basketball player, are you taking Kawhi or are you taking Giannis? I'm taking Kawhi. Kawhi, to me, is a better player than Giannis Antetokounmpo. Who are you taking, Jay Will? I don't care about who he's surrounded with. Who's the best individual basketball player?
Answer the question.
Well, who has a better skill set? Who has a better skill set? I'll go with Kawhi. Kawhi has a better,
who's the better player?
Skill set than Giannis. But
there's your win.
Well, that's what a better player means. It means skill set. Who has a better skill set, Marcus?
All right, I got to run on that thought. We will have more on this as we go. But again, the Kawhi thoughts there, I think, were important to get through. Meanwhile, Tom Brady went to a team that had a tough time protecting their old quarterback. why that makes one of his Hall of Fame friends very worried. Next, Get Up, ESPN. What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It is time for Swagoo to cut through the nonsense. You'll hear what people in sports said, and then Marcus Spears will tell you what they really meant. We start with Ron Rivera, now the coach in Washington, but of course, formerly the coach of Cam Newton in Carolina, who was asked yesterday why he didn't try to bring Cam with him to Washington.
Honestly, if situation circumstances had allowed us, I would not have had any issue with that. I would have been very confident and comfortable in going after him and bringing him to be part of what we're doing here.
We've been in this tough situation because there's a number of veteran guys out there that we like, but we got to find out what we have in young guys. I just felt that, you know, because of our circumstances, we could play this slow, and I think he's ready to bust out. I really do. I mean, I would never bet against the young man, that's for sure.
That's what Ron Rivera says. What does Swagoo say?
First, let me say this. I love Ron Rivera. I've had the chance to meet him, talk to him, great guy. But Ron Rivera is making excuses. You could have signed Cam. Basically, what he's saying is, I didn't want to hurt Dwayne Haskins' feelings. And we brought in Kyle. So I don't want to hurt my two young guys bringing in Cam Newton, because he would start and he probably would actually make us a better team. But I didn't want to, at the expense of hurting my young guys' feelings, bring Cam Newton in here. But yeah, Cam, go somewhere else and ball out. Damn, I made a mistake when we had season's end, G.
I agree with you. People talk about Cam like he's a lot older than he is. He's only 31 years old. Let's go next to Green Bay. The Packers enter the 2020 season with Jordan Love as Aaron Rodgers' backup after the team moved up to take him in the draft. Brett Favre, speaking with TMZ Sports, shared some interesting thoughts on how the team could use Love in a non-traditional way.
I think there's ways that incorporate, like much like Taysom Hill with the Saints. Use him as a, you know, halfback pass. But occasionally let him run it, just to show that you'll do that. You got to be careful. It could cost you your job, in other words, doing foolish stuff. But I think there is a way to do it that could please everyone.
Jordan Love has Taysom Hill. That's what he says. What does Swagoo say?
You damn right, Brent, it could cost you your job. And this ain't the damn team you coach in high school in Mississippi for. This is the freaking Green Bay Packers, and they not about to put Jordan Love out there to spell Aaron Rodgers to throw in some kind of scheme. Aaron Rodgers can run too. Brett Favre, I don't know what you're talking about. You talking about stuff you gonna try at the high school that you're coaching. That's what that means, G.
I like it a lot. All right, I got one more for you. I wanted to get back to this from earlier in the show. Yesterday on Jalen and Jacoby, Draymond Green was asked about his motivation to win another title without Kevin Durant. Here's what he said.
We're always motivated to, try to win championships, whether that's with KD or whether it's not. You know, there's no added motivation, with him leaving. We're competitors, we're champions, and we're going to continue to try to raise our level of play to that level in order to finish what we started. That started before KD, so it's not like, you know, we need to kind of rally around this whole notion of KD's not here anymore. Like, we know what it takes to win a championship, and that's what we're going to rally around.
So he says no extra motivation. That's what he says. What does Swagoo say?
Gee, I remember a long time ago, my man Snoop Dogg said, y'all ain't got no love for Dr. Dre and Death Row, and that's what Draymond's saying. Y'all don't have no love for the Golden State Warriors and what we already did before KD showed up here. I ain't got no love for KD. This was a business decision. We won a championship. Our relationship ain't been all good since the beginning, since he showed up. But with that being said, I don't need no motivation. Maybe y'all think we do, but we the Golden State Warriors. We was doing this before Kevin Durant showed up, and we gonna continue to do it. And I take offense to the fact that y'all think KD motivate us to win games. We already that deal. We was that deal before KD showed up. He needed us to win a championship.
I love that take. And Jay Will, I wanna bring you back in, because we talked about this earlier. I would argue that Kevin Durant will be more motivated to try and win without Golden State than the Warriors will be to try and prove they can win without KD, for the simple reason that they've done it and he hasn't. And we all know what all the perception was out there about Kevin and his move to Golden State and everything else. And we all know that he's sensitive to that stuff because there's a history there on social media. So, Jay, Will, I would argue, and this isn't a criticism, that Kevin Durant will be motivated to prove he can win one without the Warriors.
Well, first off, both teams are going to be motivated to win championships. The media is going to make it seem like Kevin has to be more motivated, but that's a lie. Both teams are going to be motivated. And I'll go back to Marcus and I'll say this. Does Kevin Durant have a lot to prove to a lot of people in your mind? Sure. You're damn right he does. So do the Golden State Warriors. Let me tell you why, Marcus Spears. The rest of the league has caught up to the style in which the Golden State Warriors played. That first time they won a championship with small ball with Draymond Green at the four and the five, the rest of the league has caught up to that degree. So I want to see how the Golden State Warriors, which obviously I was going to say, they are loaded, by the way. Nobody talks about them having Andrew Wiggins and their chances of winning a chip next year. But please, let's not act like both sides aren't extremely motivated to prove that they can do it without one another. That's the beautiful thing about being an athlete. Look, I find a guy saying something to me randomly on Twitter, something that motivates me. So let alone Kevin Durant leaving Golden State, you don't think that inspires Draymond Green? He mentioned his name five times. You're damn right it does. And the same side on Kevin Durant's side, trying to prove it to the rest of the world that he can win without Golden State, without Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. It's going to be dual sides on both ends.
Jay Will.
That's how it works.
Jay Will, I love you so much because you went right into my realm where I needed you to go. First of all, the Golden State Warriors ain't have no problems with the West. The Golden State Warriors had a problem with that man, LeBron James. That's the reason they felt like they needed KD. But with that being said, when you say everybody went to small ball in the league and caught up, last time I checked, everybody don't have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson shooting the damn ball and Draymond facilitating. Like, if you want to go small ball, what team you taking? What team are you taking to be the best small ball team if everything is equal?
What do you mean? For what? To win a championship?
Next
I'm
year,
not sure what your question
Golden
is.
You saying they brought KD because everybody caught up in the league. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. They're still the best small ball team without KD.
It don't mean they're going to win a championship. You going to take Golden State over the Clippers next year, Marcus? Would you take Golden State over the Clippers next year?
With them healthy? I would. Yes.
Go ahead.
I would.
Okay. I wouldn't. I'm going to say Golden State over the Clippers next year if they're healthy.
We're going to find out.
Hey, Jay Will.
Why, Marcus?
Jay Will.
Golden
State still has Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and to your point, added Andrew Wiggins, and I'm sure they won't be done yet. I would have no problem at all taking that team against the Clippers, especially if Klay and Steph are playing at a high level, because who gonna continue to score with them?
There is no question.
The guy you just talked about in our last game, Kawhi Leonard being one of the best players in the game. Paul George, one of the best defenders in the game. Patrick Beverley, Reggie Jackson. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can name some dudes now. They can throw multiple dudes at the Golden State Warriors. I'm not saying the Warriors won't be a great team, but don't tell me that they're a better favorite than the Clippers next year if the Clippers are healthy and Kawhi's healthy.
Well, let's settle this year's championship, and then we'll figure out next year's. But I love the debate, and I love it all. I love you guys both. Thank you for jumping in here and yelling at each other because it made my day. Let me get to some football.
You just named
here. Randy Moss was with us yesterday on this program, and he was talking about what is his biggest concern for the offensive line protecting Tom Brady down there in Tampa, his former quarterback. Here was Randy yesterday on what it is he's concerned about.
My biggest concern for Tom, you know, you've seen what he has as far as his weapons. I'm not concerned about the running game. I'm concerned about Tom's protection. You know, they were unable to protect Jameis Winston for so long. And if you look at if you compare quarterbacks, you know, Jameis and Tom are not mobile quarterbacks. So if they couldn't protect Jameis, how are they going to protect Tom Brady?
There was an interesting point that he brings up there. And let me get my crew back in here. Rex, let me start with you. What do you think of that idea? Are you concerned, particularly in an offense where Arians likes to throw the ball down the field and that takes a little time, are you worried about Brady getting hit a lot more than a 43-year-old wants to?
I'm really not, because Brady takes care of himself, and he can throw the ball on time and in rhythm faster than any quarterback in this league. So to me, I'm not overly concerned. I think if there was one thing that I was Jameis Winston, when you talk about that, yeah, they're both pocket quarterbacks, but Jameis had a tendency to hold the ball too long, in my in my opinion, and not protect the ball in the pocket. Brady's phenomenal at protecting the ball in the pocket, and he'll protect himself in the pocket with his quick release and his timing and accuracy.
RC?
Well, when you look at Tom Brady, what he does better than anyone is diagnose the play before the snap and find the best matchups. It's matchup issues all around the field in Tampa Bay. And even though Bruce Arians is a guy that wants to push the ball down the field, he's pushed the ball down the field everywhere that he's been as a head coach, but he hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl. He was great in Indy. He was great in Arizona. He still knows there's another piece that he needs. Tom Brady is that piece. Taking the right play, making the right call, making the right check, sliding protection the way that you need to. And I do think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has taken a step back in a little bit of talent and measurables and movements, but they've gained so much here when you get Tom Brady. So much that he can change, so much that he can do, and he is going to protect himself, to speak to Rex's point. And I think that's the most important thing. And when Mike Evans is one-on-one outside, when Godwin's one-on-one in the slot, or O.J. Howard or Rob Gronkowski, they're going to get the ball right now. They're going to get it in a place where they can make plays, and that's how this team will work.
It's interesting when you think about that. Swagoo, so if you're playing defense against that team this year, what is the mindset going up against Brady behind an offensive line that struggled by the numbers at least last year protecting Jameis?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
You better create pressure up the middle of the pocket. And now we're getting into X's and O's in football, which has always been Tom Brady's struggle, is when you have tackles that can create push. With that being said, to Rex's and Ryan's point, you ain't hitting Tom Brady. And first of all, I wish I had three cameras in here so I could tell one of the cameras to zoom in on me. If Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich allow Tom Brady to get hit because they call him plays downfield and want him to hold the ball for it, that's a fireball offense, G, and they should damn well not do it. And here's the other point. When you think about Jameis and when you think about this offense, Jameis is a big arm guy. Jameis was like that at Florida State with Jimbo Fisher. He wanted to go downfield. You know what Tom Brady will do? Tom Brady will check down you to death. I remember being on the field with Tom Brady saying, Coach, it ain't no way to get pressure on this dude. He throwing the ball in 1.7 seconds. And you might as well just stand there and look and hope your DBs can make a play. But when it comes to X's and O's, I don't have one concern, not one iota, about Tom Brady being protected. Because to Rex's point, Tom Brady going to protect his damn self.
Rex, you would blitz guys coming off the bus. Are you blitzing Tom Brady in Tampa next year?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them everything. You can't just sit back and say we're going to play this zone or whatever. You got to mix it up and challenge them mentally and things. But guys, here's one thing that we haven't talked about. We all, you know, everything's Bruce Arians' offense. Oh, really? You think they brought Tom Brady in to run Bruce Arians' offense? No, they brought Tom Brady in to run his yeah. offense.
I like
obviously,
that.
Yeah. Bruce Arians is going to have some concern, but this is going to be Tom Brady's offense.
We will watch it when it happens. A very good thought. All right, meanwhile, from an aging superstar quarterback to a very young one next, Lamar Jackson emerging as a superstar en route to being named MVP. Why a repeat could prove difficult for this Raven, we'll talk about it. And sneaky Hembo for Rex this morning. Here's the question. Lamar Jackson has started 22 games in the regular season and won 19 of them. Who was the last quarterback to win 19 of his first 22 career starts? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Here we go. Back on Get Up. Sneaky Hembo time. Rex, this one's for you. Lamar Jackson has won 19 of his first 22 regular season starts. Who was the last quarterback to win 19 of his first 22 games?
I was juggling between three guys, Colin Kaepernick, Big Ben, but I got to go with the chalk. I'm going to go with Tom Brady. He's won every other thing. I'm going to go with Brady.
Well, you know what? You had the right guy in mind. Ben Roethlisberger is actually the right answer. He went 13-0 as a rookie and then started his second season 6-3. By the way, you played him in the playoffs that year. Let's not talk about that. In the meantime, in his first full season as a starter, Lamar Jackson took the NFL by storm. First of all, he ran over everybody. He ran for 1,200 yards, breaking Michael Vick's record for most rushing yards by a quarterback. He also passed around everybody. He led the NFL with 36 passing touchdowns. 9% of his passes went for touchdowns last year. That was the second highest rate in NFL history. Then in the playoffs, he became the first player with 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards in a playoff game. He also had three turnovers, as you all certainly by now know. The Ravens got knocked out by the Titans in that postseason game. And that gets us to our required reading this morning, as our Bill Barnwell did a progress report on Lamar. Here's a piece of what he wrote. He wrote, if only because it's virtually impossible to improve on an MVP campaign, history suggests that Jackson will decline some this season. He threw the touchdowns, as mentioned here, on 9% of his pass attempts last year. But with that being said, barring serious injury, Jackson isn't going anywhere. He's going to present the same problems for opposing defenses in the years to come, and the Ravens are committed to building their offense around his dizzying array of skills. I'm going to bring Diana Russini back into the conversation here. Diana, what are you hearing from Baltimore as far as their expectations looking forward for Lamar Jackson and how it maybe what we've seen in the past plays into that?
Yeah, hey, Greeny. Before we talk Lamar, I never get to do this, and I know this is something your wife will really care about. There's breaking news that Jay Cutler's chickens, they were killed by a raccoon. So I wanted to make sure that you knew that. I know this was the big mystery, everyone following Jay Cutler on Instagram. But let's talk some Lamar Jackson. And, you know, I covered the Ravens a lot this season and talked to a lot of players on the team after they lost to the Titans. And most of their mindset was this. They had tons of respect for the Tennessee Titans, their coaching staff, and what that defense was able to do. And I remember when I was covering the Titans before that game, they were obsessed with talking about the shock and awe of Lamar Jackson, meaning he's going to come out and be so fast, you're not even going to know what to do. All week long, that's the words that they kept saying. So what they did was they prepared, so they were ready when they saw Lamar up close and personal that it didn't scare them, that his speed didn't frighten them, which is what helped the Tennessee Titans have success against them early on in that game. Now, as for the Ravens, nobody's lost confidence in Lamar Jackson. If anything, I would say that more people in that organization think he's going to take another leap forward, another step into being a great quarterback.
So, Rex, I'm thinking back. It was probably right around a year ago right now. You were in my studio. We were in the city on Get Up. And you were one of the first people telling me Lamar Jackson is going to become a superstar this year. So what do you forecast for him going forward?
No, I think he's still going to be a superstar. And you see multiple MVPs getting ready to come his way. I know Pat Mahomes will be the favorite, but this guy's amazing. And when I look at it, everybody talks about how, Lamar Jackson had a poor game against Tennessee. Really? He was over 500 yards when you combine his passing and running. So to me, it's like, this guy doesn't have a whole lot to improve on. He's just got to be himself. I thought the amazing thing that he did between his rookie year and second year was protect the football. That was the one negative that he had, and he did it. So to me, I'm thinking that this guy's just going to get better and better through experience. But that's a scary thought to me. So to me, I just think that this guy right here is so special that, you know, the only thing that can stop him is himself. Because when he decides, like, just go out and be Lamar Jackson and have fun playing, if he does that, I think he's unstoppable.
RC?
Yeah, no, I believe the same things that Rex does. I also know that they have to expand as an offense, and that's on Greg Roman. They have to throw the ball outside the numbers so teams can't just pack it in and try to stop the run, stop the tight end, stop the slot receivers. So that's his next evolution in his growth, and I think he's tried to do that in the offseason. You've seen him working out, throwing with different wide receivers to expand that game. Lamar Jackson is truly a transcendent talent, and he's going to be great in this league for years to come. I believe he'll win multiple MVPs. He will also be a Super Bowl champion.
Swagoo, quickly, any concerns from you?
No concerns, but you know what's exciting about this conversation? We act like everybody forgot 15 plays in Kansas City, and don't forget about that dude in Houston by the name of Deshaun Watson. I love Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is phenomenal, but the fact that we have three guys that could possibly be in the MVP conversation the next 5 years, battling each other out, is amazing to me. This game is in good hands with these three young guys, but Lamar Jackson is another animal because of his ability to run.
Yeah, of those, the oldest is 24. And again, very quickly, Diana, we have conclusion to the Jay Cutler chicken saga. That's all over.
Yeah, it's over. It was a raccoon. But, you know, I'm happy this is over because this was dominating my life. So I hope your wife can get her life back as well.
Yeah, the degree of attention that people were paying to Jay Cutler's chickens was really something to behold. Meanwhile, we will give seed to the to First Take coming up here in just a few minutes. NBA teams less than a week away from reporting. How confident are Stephen and A and Max that the season will be completed? They'll tell you when First Take comes your way in 5 minutes on ESPN. Coming up today on ESPN, it's First Take, followed by SportsCenter. They've got a Serie A doubleheader coming your way at 1:25 and 3:30 Eastern. NFL Live and The Jump will be on ESPN2. SportsCenter's at 5:30. The PTI guys join at 6. And SVP caps your day at 11 Eastern. A busy day on ESPN. And I am pleased to tell you it's finally July, which means that later this month, sports will be back. Opening day for Major League Baseball set for July 23rd. The Yankees facing the reigning champion Washington Nationals. 5 days later, on the 28th, NFL training camps will open. The season's still on track to begin September 10th with the Texans visiting the Chiefs. And on July 30th, the NBA will resume its season as the Jazz play the Pelicans and the Lakers face the Clippers. The regular season will last 16 days and end on August 14th, and a lot will then be determined. Again, today is the day where a lot of these NBA players have to make a final decision on whether or not they plan to go into the bubble. Could certainly go a long way towards deciding where it all takes us next month. Anyway, it's been a great deal of fun being here today with you. Thank you so very much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow for Get Up on ESPN.